Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, December 8th, 2021.
So, I stayed in my suit. Yeah, we are ceremony. Come back.
Sure.
The December 8th of meeting of 2021, the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Note that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise to salute the flag.
It's 10.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our board administrator, please call the roll.
Jay Cook.
Is that two?
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tocco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Landgraf, Commissioner Kriebel, Tom Halpin, Roman Zabi Hutch, Wendy Bartlett, and Don Siglin.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is the adoption of minutes from the last meeting, which is November 10th, 2021. Are there any amendments or changes to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion to adopt, a motion and a second, pardon me, to adopt minutes?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are now carried and they are now adopted. There is one resolution this evening from the last meeting, and that is P6121. Which is R&B Land Development at 4925 Ventnor Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to that resolution? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second to adopt that resolution?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. P61 2021 is hereby adopted. This evening, we have an application, actually two applications, it's for the same building. Now, can we hear those as one or have we heard it independently?
Yeah, so here's what I think we should do, and just backing up, on the resolution we just adopted, I know there was a number of people who weren't here last month, so the people who approved that would be just the people who were here last month. Everyone else will just note we're an abstention. There's two applications, the Leroy application, or Leroy, if I apologize if I pronounced that incorrectly, and Villa Lona, 121 North Sacramento, 123. They're essentially mirror images of each other. They filed them as separate applications. The testimony is going to be overlapping and redundant. I think for purposes of the testimony, we should 100% consolidate them, hear them together. We'll open up to the public. So if anyone has any comments, the order, just so everyone in the public knows, the applicant will present its case. Board will, as normally, ask some questions if necessary. Then we'll have a public portion where anyone gets to speak. I know there's at least one attorney here. We'll let her go first, and then anyone else from the public can say whatever they need to say. But for purposes of testimony, we'll consolidate the two matters. I think that'll make it a lot simpler, and I think it makes much more sense, and it's more economical. Depending on how it plays out when we go to the vote, whether we need to separate certain things out, we can, or may, we'll play that by ear.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
No, just on that, the adoption of that resolution on the
right.
the Ventnor Avenue project. No, everyone here is good.
Okay. All right. At this time, so Mr. Schaefer, are you representing?
I am not an attorney, so
I know.
So
as a planner,
right?
And
right.
Engineer only.
So I think what Mr. Schaefer's getting at, the applicant should come up. We should swear them both in.
Right.
They can introduce Mr. Schaefer,
right.
and then we can qualify him, and,
okay.
and then he can pretty much has free reign to say what he wants. But he doesn't want to act as
okay.
the attorney.
What is your name?
Hello, my name is Virginia Leroy.
I own the property with my husband at 121 North Sacramento Avenue.
Okay.
Also here today, behind the sign, is Estella Villalona and Clevy Villalona as well. They own the property at 123. They are side-by-side duplexes.
Okay, one second, thank you.
Okay.
I think we should get the Villalonas to come up, state their name and address. We'll swear the three of you in. Is your husband going to speak, Ms. Leroy? Are you going to speak? Do you plan on speaking too?
If he's going to speak, we'll have to be sworn in.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you need to, then we'll get you sworn in, but whoever's going to speak for the Villalonas, just state your name and address.
Yes, my name is Estella Villalona.
Okay.
I own the 123 North Sacramento Avenue.
Okay. And Ms. Villalona, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Leroy?
You
swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give?
Happily.
Okay.
I own the property at 121 North Sacramento.
Okay. And you, Carmel, are you picking that up? Okay.
I did.
Is there anyone else besides Mr. Schaefer that will be sworn?
No, Mr. Schaefer is our engineer.
Right.
For the property.
Right. And Mr. Schaefer, could you come forward and be sworn, please?
Certainly.
Mr. Schaefer, just your name and business address for the record.
Yeah, Andrew Schaefer, 1425 Cantillon Boulevard, Mays Landing, New Jersey.
Okay. Please read.
Go ahead.
You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
And you're a licensed engineer and a planner in the state of New Jersey?
I'm a licensed engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey, yes.
Let the record reflect that his credentials are acceptable. He's appeared before us before.
Okay.
And
let's get Roger maybe sworn in.
Roger sworn.
Mr. McLaren, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. What we're going to do here is before, Mr. Schaefer, before you proceed, we're going to have Roger do a preamble on the application to explain it to everyone, and then you will take up do your presentation at that time. Okay. Roger, could you please do a... an explanation of the application.
Yes, thank you, Board Chairman, Board members. The report is dated November 5th, 2021 for both applications for David and Virginia Leroy at 121 North Sacramento Avenue, Block 163, Lot 11. And also, same date, November 5th, 2021, the application of Clevy and Estella Villalona at 123 North Sacramento Avenue, Block 163, Lot 12. The applications are similar, almost identical, but they are mirror images of what is proposed. So I will read the application report for 121 North Sacramento Avenue. Basically, this is a substantial benefit variance, a hardship variance, and a D variance for deviation from a standard pursuant to Section 54. Public Land Use Law 1975 pertaining to a conditional use variance. There's a condition for this is not a duplex, it's actually single family attached dwellings, because the differentiation is there's a property line running through the middle of it instead of two houses on one property, which would be a duplex at that point in time. So there are certain conditions that have to be met in order to construct a new version of what is there. So the project description is as follows. The applicant is seeking variances to construct an attached single-family dwelling on a lot that is occupied by an attached single-family dwelling, which is side-by-side, common lot line, along with a similar application for the adjacent lot. Similar application in 2018 was made to elevate two attached single-family dwellings on lots 13 and 14, which was approved. The lot as is, the adjacent are vacant as the structures have been demolished. The R7 zoning district permits attached single-family dwellings as a conditional use, and since the conditions are not being met, a conditional use variance is required. Several bulk variances are required as well. Again, that description can be applied to 123 North Sacramento Avenue as well. Page 3 of my report, there's a zoning chart and all the standards and requirements, and the proposed situation is shown on the chart. Continued on the top of page 4 of the report, and I'll discuss the variances specific to 121 North Sacramento Avenue. First one is the use, whereas the zoning in this area is for single-family dwellings and single-family attached units with all conditions are not being met.
The conditions are not being met, so a condition of use variance is required, as explained before, and I see comment one below, and I'll get to that comment in a minute. The second variance is lot area. Again, this is existing non-conforming, whereas a minimum lot area for R7 zoning district for attached or detached single-family dwellings is 2,000 square feet, and 1,453 square feet exists and is proposed. Again, that's an existing non-conforming lot area. Lot width, similarly to lot area, it's an existing non-conforming, whereas minimum lot width for attached single-family dwellings is 30 feet, 23.25 feet exists, and 23.25 feet is proposed. And I also cite the sections in the ordinance that refers to this. Lot width, there's another lot width, and for a condition of approval for attached single-family, you need a total lot width, whereas a minimum combined lot width for attached single-family dwellings is 60 feet, 46.5 feet exists, and 46.5 feet is proposed. Front yard setback to the building, whereas 12 feet is required minimum setback, and 10.1 feet is proposed. Side yard setback on the right-hand side, again, this is the building on the right, whereas 7 feet is required minimum setback for attached single-family dwellings with a combined lot width of 60 feet, but less than 64, and 4.1 feet is proposed. If the lot was wider than 64 feet, you would need an 8-foot wide setback on the one side. Rear yard setback, whereas 12 feet is required minimum setback, and 10.1 feet is proposed. No waivers have been requested. My comment one, which is pertinent to the use variance, is as follows, citing directly from the ordinance, permitted uses, B, conditional uses, the following conditional uses are permitted. Attached single-family construction where not more than 2 single-family residential units are permitted to be attached along a common side yard property line, and when all the following conditions are met. One is minimum lot, combined lot width, which a variance is required. Minimum side yard setback for the principal structure along the common property line shall be 0. That is proposed, so that is being met. And the opposing side yard setback shall be as follows, and not to regurgitate everything in the ordinance, but I explained it in the discussion of the variances required. And just, I added some definitions, a duplex, a single-family designed for occupied exclusively as a residence containing 2 dwelling units on a single lot, where the dwelling units are located one over the other, versus a dwelling or a 2-family dwelling, a single building where they're side by side on one lot. So that's, we basically have 3 different definitions here, and that's how we get to the use variance. I'm not going to go through all the comments. They're basically just standard street trees, landscaping have to be met. I give the requirements and recommendations in the page 6 and page 7 of my report, some guidance to the board members on determining whether the sufficient testimony is provided to grant a D variance as well as a C variance. So I think the board will find that helpful. Now I just want to continue jumping over to 123 Sacramento Avenue. Same use variance still applies. Same report basically, except the side yard setback is on the left side versus the right side for the combined side yard requirement. And I'll read the variances for 123 North Sacramento Avenue. A use, whereas the zoning in this area is for single-family dwellings and single-family attached units, with all conditions not being met, the conditions are not being met, so a conditional use variance is required. Lot area, whereas a minimum lot area for R7 zone for attached or detached single-family dwellings is 2,000 square feet, 1,453 square feet exist and is proposed. Lot width, whereas minimum lot width for attached single-family dwellings is 30 feet, 23.25 feet exists, and 23.25 feet is proposed. Lot width combined, whereas a minimum combined lot width for attached single-family dwellings is 60 feet, 46.5 feet exists, and 46.5 feet is proposed. Front yard setback to the building, whereas 12 feet is required minimum setback, 10.1 feet is proposed. Side yard setback to the left, whereas 7 feet is required minimum setback for attached single-family dwellings with a combined lot width of 60 feet but less than 64 feet. and 4.1 feet is proposed. Rear yard setback, whereas 12 feet is required minimum setback, and 10.1 feet is proposed. Again, another caveat of the ordinance is you have to have symmetry in, with the homes. The house on the left has to be mirror image of the house on the right, and that is proposed. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the comments, as they are the same as before, except not applying to the right side, it'll be applying to the left side. So at this point in time, I will turn it over to Mr. Schaefer to provide testimony for the board's benefit.
Mr. Schaefer, have you read this report?
I have, yes.
Are you congruent with it?
I'm sorry?
Are you in agreement with it?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so it's acceptable then?
It is. And to begin the testimony, I would take the low-hanging fruit first and say that the review comments, we agree to all of those, in terms of just the review comments, not necessarily yet the variance and so forth, that's coming. So part of what I'm going to try and demonstrate tonight is that there are two sets of variances, a D3 conditional use variance required for both properties, and I will refer to both properties simultaneously, and I am prepared, well, the other side is just a flip of this one, and I do have that. The D3 variance being associated with proving positive and negative criteria according to municipal land use law 40:55D, and then the C2 variances regarding the setback for front, side, and rear as a hardship, and that hardship I will continue to go through, but that just to give you a preamble of where I'm going to be going at this. So it is a conditional use variance, a D3 variance in particular, according to MLUL 40:D-70D, and that is to construct a single-family attached dwelling on both lots that are mirror images, as Mr. McLaren mentioned. And the points of interest, while an attached single-family house is a permitted use, it is classified in the ordinance as a conditional permitted use, and we do not meet all the conditions of that requirement. And starting with your ordinance section 102.61A, condition of requiring a lot width of 60 feet combined and an individual lot of 30 feet, we do not meet. That's an existing nonconformity, which will become more evident in the C2 variance testimony that I'll be giving. But it does not meet the requirements, and it is an existing nonconformity.
Mr. Schaefer, real quick, what was there before?
There was a single-family attached house there before of slightly more square footage than we're proposing.
Okay. Mirror image of each other, right?
Correct. And it's been taken down, which if I had been consulted earlier, I would have suggested not doing that, but it's down now. So...
Mr. Schaefer, before I may interrupt, do you have a description of that property, how many bedrooms it was and so on, or know anything about that?
No, I do not. I may have to have one of the applicants suggest what that is.
What do you need to know?
Well, it's, if you wanted to see it, you could go down the street and see its twin, because 125 and 127 are still standing. They were able to raise. We had too much damage, and the state said we had to get demolished. And it was a three-bedroom home, a half bath downstairs, full bath upstairs. Downstairs, living room, dining room, kitchen, with pantry. Small garage, like small garage, like from 1910, small garage. It fit a Model A. It didn't ever fit a car.
If I could add, that was a detached garage?
No, it was an attached, it was an attached garage.
But it was a separate structure.
But it was a separate, separate structures. The new house still has three bedrooms. The old house had three bedrooms, front master bedroom, middle room, and then small back bedroom.
And what size lot was that on? A 25-foot lot or a 46-foot lot?
23.25.
That lot.
Same lot.
It's the same lot.
Right.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the construction question.
All right. And was there a dwelling on the other, on the lot with 125?
Yeah, well, the attached, you know, we showed a firewall.
Okay.
And it was a mirror image of our house, only opposite.
It was an attached single-family dwelling there also.
Yes.
That's correct.
And that would be 123.
That also had three bedrooms in it.
It also had three bedrooms, attic, you know, same as me, I had an attic.
All right.
And an attached garage, and a driveway. And I had a driveway.
Thank you very much.
One quick question for you. You said the state says you couldn't, you had to demolish?
Yep.
Are you getting FEMA money for this?
Yes, we got an REM grant, of which the initial bad contractor grabbed $70,000 from us, I don't know how much from them. I just want to get rebuilt.
I think that's an important point, so you are getting federal money in this, that's
okay? Yeah.
Right, so, and they, the federal, has that, that, this plan been submitted to them?
Yes.
For the money?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So, you know, jumping off my script for a minute, and I will be getting there later.
Sorry, aging, I guess.
That's okay. The house is basically replacing what was there, only a more modern version of it, less square footage, but a different configuration, which I'll get into later on in terms of the side yard setbacks, which didn't, weren't required before, but would be now. So, and again, I mentioned that the lots are 23.25 feet in width, where 30 feet is required for a total of 60. So that's where we're not compliant with the first condition, and that's 102.61A in the width of the lot. Then moving on to the ordinance, 102.61B is a condition requiring the side yard minimum setback be 7 feet. And we're proposing 5 feet on both sides, which is a little bit different than we first proposed earlier before we had a problem with a notice, which was my office's fault. So we did change that somewhat to make it a little bit more than it was before. It was a little bit more than 4 feet before. And this condition is not being met. So the 5 foot setback on both sides is required to be 7 feet as part of that condition. Then under ordinance section 102.61C, this condition requires a front and rear setback of 12 feet, where we're proposing 10 feet. And again, this the total square footage of the structure is less than what previously existed, but it's still proposing some requirements for variances in order to allow the setbacks. And the so the house is also 6.3 feet shorter than is permitted by ordinance, so it's not taller. And the whole point of saying that is the volume of the house is not greater than before, and it's not greater than what the zone allows in the site. We just have a lot that's less than the required, 2,000 square feet on each side. So moving on to some of the negative criteria associated with the granting of this variance, if it is granted. With the existing undersized lot and a new house not exceeding the lot coverage or volume of the other houses in the area. Now, we did a survey of some of the houses in the area, which I have tabulated on this exhibit, and it shows that the house is in the average of the other attached single-family houses, two-family houses, and a little bit more than the single-family houses in the area, but it's in keeping with the volume associated with the other houses in the neighborhood, which I think is an important point.
Mr. Schaefer, when you say volume, do you mean cubic square footage?
Yes, I do. Both area is less, and the total height, being that it's less than the allowed or permitted height. So let's just focus on the square footage of the area of the house, the plan area of the house. It's in keeping with the rest of the neighborhood. It's not a bigger house than the neighborhood has. The only thing that exacerbates the situation we have here is we have an undersized lot that is an existing condition. So in terms of the impact, in my opinion, as a professional planner, it's a de minimis in nature and can be, and the variance could be granted without substantial detriment to the public good zoning ordinance and zoning master plan. Now, moving on to some of the positives. This will improve the building aesthetics compared to what was there before, and in particular, it's also going to be less or greater aesthetic value than just an empty lot in amongst another number of houses that are in the area. So we don't have a row of houses and then an interruption and then houses again. It's going to be an attractive, attached, single-family house that's not there now, and it will far exceed the aesthetic value of what was there before. The intensity of the use is not being increased, and that no additional dwellings are being proposed. Off-street parking will be created under this situation because each lot that will be able to contain two parking spaces tandem, not side by side, but tandem, underneath the house that aren't currently and weren't currently there before. Then additionally, under section of the MEUL 40:55D, the promotion of desirable visual environment is advanced as compared to the older building recently removed and that of the empty lot. Additionally, the size of the house is in keeping with the neighborhood, and even though the lot is undersized, the maximum impervious coverage is not exceeded. So we do comply with the maximum impervious coverage of the lot in that, in this zone, despite the fact that it's undersized lot. Additionally, under the same section, the promotion of safety and free flow of traffic obtained by providing off-street parking. This will limit some of the congestion on the street by the fact that less cars will be parked on the street and the rest will be parked underneath the building. And lastly, the promotion of the zoning purposes and the density is not created that is greater than the zone plan. So we, again, we're not creating more density than is permitted by the zone, and we're not asking for any density requirements. And that's my testimony in terms of the D3 variance. If you like, I'll continue to go on with the C2 variances in regards to the bulk, which are the same variances or the lack of complying with the conditions of the conditional use. So the bulk variances stem from a significantly undersized lot, which in itself is a hardship, and it is unique in the nature that the home proposed is not oversized. The setback variances noted can be granted without causing substantial detriment to the public good, and the variance can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan. So I know you haven't seen me here that many times, but I get it out there and I get down. So this is basically my closing then. In my professional opinion, the variances that do not represent a detriment to the zoning plan or master plan, and that the lot can accommodate the home proposed while advancing the purposes of municipal land use law, and that the benefits of granting the variances outweigh any detriments. That's it.
That's it.
I flew through it.
Okay. Question being is, so I can be clear, the property that's being built now, both sides, are not any larger than the existed prior.
The square footage.
Square footage.
But the configuration is different.
Yes.
And it's requiring side and front and
right.
rear setback variances.
Square footage is the same. The bedroom count's basically the same.
Yes.
You have new parking.
We have new parking created by lifting the building higher than would normally be done, and we'll be able to pull cars underneath.
And
that's correct.
These buildings are now FEMA compliant.
I'm sorry?
Are these buildings FEMA compliant?
Absolutely, yes.
Was the prior building FEMA compliant?
No. Which is the whole reason it became damaged in the first place. It was flooded.
Right. Okay. And can you explain to the board this thing about the federal? They were obligated to tear it down. They were told to tear it down, take it down.
I'm not really familiar with why they had to tear it down. I think it's one of the applicants will help me answer that.
The original structure was moved here from Trenton in 1908. When FEMA came in, or the state came in and tested the walls, they found too much lead, et cetera, and they said it would be too expensive to take all of the lead and whatnot out of the walls, that it would be cheaper for the grant to tear down. So in order for us to get the grant, we had to agree to tear down. Trust me, if it was going to be this hard, I wouldn't have even taken the federal money, because it's 9 years later.
Yeah. Was the condition of the grant to comply to FEMA?
Yes, we have to be 11 feet elevated.
Yeah, so when you got the grant to do this work, you had to comply to FEMA?
Yes.
That's okay. Mr. Schaefer, do you have anything more you want to add?
Well, in terms of the FEMA requirements, due to parking underneath, we've actually exceeded the FEMA requirements by several feet due to just creating enough room for parking underneath
You meet our requirements.
Yes, it exceeds all the requirements.
Yeah. So that is the case. Is there anything else that's pertinent to add between the old structures and the new structures?
Well, one is modern and the other is ancient.
Right.
I mean,
it was 1908, basically said.
Yeah, it was an old house. So it adds to the neighborhood in the sense of aesthetics and also the value and quality of the house that is now in that neighborhood, which has also been reflected in a number of houses in the area that either been replaced or lifted and renovated simultaneously.
Would you characterize that, the old dwelling, as an obsolete building?
Absolutely, yes.
That completes your presentation?
That's all I have. Thank you.
Board members, do you have any questions at this point? Yes?
I'm assuming the grant carries over to the other side, correct?
Yeah, both sides are under the grant, yes.
So they're separate grants?
I believe they're separate but simultaneous grants. And I've been through this on other house lifts, in fact, some in this very neighborhood, and it is a very complicated process for the grant program to get both sides to the table and to agree.
Okay.
So there's one builder?
One builder, yes.
Okay.
So just a question. You currently own the lot?
I own my side of the lot.
Okay, so you're just owning the, what is it, 121 or 121?
Right.
Okay. So the other applicant, okay. So you have two distinctly different grants, I'm assuming then.
Yes.
Okay, we're just presenting it together. Okay, so you own one side, they own, okay, I got it.
It's a really weird sign.
Yeah. No, I understand.
It's kind of walk, yeah. Where we're separate.
Well, there's different ownership, so it has
together.
To go. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Schaefer, is that 121?
That's
121.
That's 121.
And then you got
upside down 123.
Okay, we'll mark that A1 two-sided board colored variance plan.
It's an exhibit of the variance plan.
Okay, that's what we have in our package, just colored?
Yes.
Okay.
And for the record, your testimony was for 121 and 123, correct?
Yes, for the record, my testimony was for 121 and 123.
Okay, thank you. If there's no more questions from the board, I'd like to open to the public. Is there, at this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comments?
Yes, I'm
Please, you have to state your name and be sworn in.
Well, Mrs. Westcott's an
attorney. Bobby Westcott on.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Bobby Westcott, Westcott Law Office, 9700 Winchester Avenue, Margate, New Jersey.
And you're on behalf of Mr.
Malora? I'm here on behalf of Donnie Malora, okay. Yes, who is the owner of 125 North Sacramento Avenue, which is the direct adjacent neighbor west and south.
North.
No, north.
Okay. Please.
Okay. I'm here today because the proposed duplex structure located at 121 North Sacramento, 123 North Sacramento is seeking a C variance and use variance. The Bologna and Leroy owners have new construction plans to build, as you saw, basically to do a three-story residence that's approximately 242 feet deep. Now, I've been thrown for a loop a little bit because the plans I had were the 4.17 variance on the 7-foot setback that they were looking for. And based on that, I had done some square footage calculations that they were adding, and not just for egress, but that they were adding 713.16 square feet to the structure. And even with the 5-foot setback, it's still going to be a little bit under 500 square feet added. It's a mirror image of Mr. Malora's property. So I'm not sure. I just have one question about how they're reducing the total square footage. Are they setting back in the rear or setting back in the front?
Well, no, we're still asking for variances for front and rear setback of 2 feet each, and then the side yards is at 5. The original application was, I believe you're right, is a little bit over 4 feet. We've decreased footprint some.
I guess what I don't understand is I'm not aware of what the previous configuration was, that you're not adding square footage to what was there, because it was the mirror image of Mr. Malora's with a 7-foot
right.
setback.
Right, and I don't honestly have measurements of the previous house, except that if you look at aerial photographs, it's substantially the same. You can't measure it exactly.
Okay, well, there would be some objection there because it's not merely being sought for an egress. For stairs for a proposed variance,
that our position is that they would be adding square footage to the residence, to the structure itself. So Mr. Malour is a lifelong resident of Ventnor, and he owns 125 North Sacramento, as I mentioned before, for over 20 years, and he's directly adjacent to the north and west of the proposed structure. And he objects, and he has, I'm just going to go through some of the elements of law that, behind his objection. The first one would be density. North Sacramento Avenue, avenues are some of the most densely populated and built-up blocks in Ventnor, as I'm sure that you guys are aware. The teen blocks have three different multi-unit apartment buildings. The 100 blocks has multiple duplex and triplex structures. The 200 block has multiple duplex structures with ground floor apartments. Parking and noise has always been an issue in the neighborhood. The larger the structures, the more the likelihood that there's going to be more people inhabiting them as well, and further increasing the density of the neighborhood. There's also an issue with emergency access. Access is needed between the structures for a fire department to be able to respond to emergencies. Originally, they had a driveway in between these two properties with 7 foot on Mr. Malour's side and 7 foot on the other side. Mr. Malour, well, I'll get to that. So anyhow, now they're proposing to narrow that, and part of that problem would be there's a electric pole down the far end of the property directly behind the proposed structure that they need to access, you know, for all the properties on the other street, I believe is Harvard Avenue, on the other side of the block. So there would be some access problems there. And then Mr. Malour has liability concerns, and according to him, there's been at least three liability issues in the neighborhood, where even when they had the 14-foot driveway, there were two parking accidents, and there was one involved where a gas meter and where the father crashed, and the father, I guess, of the neighbors crashed into the fence. So it's pretty tight access in there, and we're going to be narrowing that further. There was an issue with an oil spill. I know it's irrelevant for these purposes, but the liability was that immediately after the demolition of the old house, hundreds of gallons of home heating oil just contaminated four of the properties, and they're all so close that when it rained, they knocked off the cap of the oil, and then when it rained, it just like poured down, and it actually displaced my client for 6 months out of his home. And so,
may I stop a minute?
So all I'm saying, though, is the closer you put the properties together, the more what one person does on their property is going to affect the neighbors.
May I ask you a question? Was that oil spill cleaned up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's been cleaned up. That was litigated separately. The oil spill was litigated in the state Superior Court of Atlantic City.
Does the oil spill exist today?
Pardon me?
Does the oil spill exist today?
No, it was cleaned up and litigated, yes. No, it's the
spill. There's no oil spill on the property?
Yes, it's been remediated.
Okay, thank you.
I believe that was...
Just for clarity. The property you're talking about, 125?
125.
Okay, is that a single-family home, or that's...
No, that's a mirror image of this. It's the multi...
So, again, because you were addressing the density, so...
It's a single family attached.
Has the same amount.
Correct.
Of density on his
correct.
Okay.
Correct. I'm not objecting to the single family,
right.
You know, two family,
no,
single
I'm
unit. But
the density as far as bedrooms and occupancy,
yes.
And that leads to cars, so that.
Yes, it's the same situation.
Right. Did the property you're discussing, did it have parking prior?
The 125?
No, 121 and 123. Do they have parking?
Not underneath.
Okay. Do they?
I think she said she had the attached garage that she could only fit. She couldn't fit a car.
Are they proposing parking today?
Am I?
Are they proposing parking today?
Yeah, underneath. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So eventually, that oil spill was. It's been remediated, but there was liability, and that's over. There's also flooding and drainage issues. This location is highly susceptible to flood and coastal flooding, as the neighborhood is in the island floodplain and has a very low elevation. I'm not sure what the elevation is.
The property is FEMA compliant now.
Right.
Okay. So And the whole street floods, it's not just one.
Yeah, well, it's a block from the bay, and the drainage problems, yeah.
So...
Yeah, you have to go up, I understand that.
That's not a...
We're not really objecting to the up part, so...
Yeah, I don't think you can object to flooding.
No, but I'm just saying less space between their properties will only exacerbate the drainage for the gutters and the downspouts and everything else. The closer you put them together, the more that's...
Mr. McLaren, does this property have drainage to the street?
It will, yes.
It will. So will the property and the adjoining properties all required to drain to the street also? So is this any different than the adjoining properties?
One recommendation would be to locate the downspouts to the front of the building, so all the runoff generated from the impervious surface from the roof goes to the street.
Okay.
That'll be a condition.
Okay, thank you. And then there's open space issue. Open space on the Barrier Islands is, of course, a premium, as everyone knows, but the proposed structure, I originally thought was significantly larger. So a little bit of caught for a loop here, because I don't understand how the square footage has been increased when they're getting more of a, you know, when they're losing a setback, but...
It's really the garage.
It's the garage?
The elimination of the garage is what really is creating...
Oh, okay, okay.
Does the client you represent own a duplex and live in the exact same unit as this?
Correct, and as a matter of fact, which I'll get to in a minute, he used the same engineer to raise his. His is completed, his was done 5 years ago. And I will get to that in a moment. The sunlight exposure, adding additional square footage to the structure is going to limit a lot of his sunshine. If you look at the plans, the wall next to him has, I believe, a single window, and I meant to print it out, it's on my phone, but it's like this solid wall with like one window. I don't know what was there before, as I said, but I'm sure it had more than one window. And again, you know, air circulation issues, any new construction is going to actually cause varying and unknown circulation changes. Noise, the closer the neighbor, the louder the neighbor, and privacy, of course. The less space between the residents and the residents. And I just want to bring up some counter arguments, because I'm not sure if I get another chance to speak, but as I mentioned, the engineering firm is Andrew Schaefer's. I believe it's S&S, is that correct? Okay. They were retained by the petitioners in this hearing, and it's the same firm that did my client's house, and Jeff and Linda Epstein's, same exact mirror house. And they collaterally applied for a C variance over 2 years ago. And they were in the process of raising the house with the common walls, the same thing. And, you know, I expect him to object. It's like, well, your client's being hypocritical because he got this variance. But the point is that their setback exception request was only to build stairs. So he put egress for stairs on the side of the property that abuts the petitioners. But he had to do that because he didn't have any other place to put the stairs. And that's not the purpose of this objection here. Just, we thought that it was becoming, you know, just the whole building is moving closer, not just the front stair section. In addition, he went and when he built his house, he reduced his footprint of his structure by 89 square feet. But he reduced the size of his attached back room over 3 foot on the side and 5 foot in the rear. So he did this so that he could plant 3 trees on the property and cultivate a vegetable garden in the back, which he did. And he increased the amount of pervious surface on the property, which is extremely important for the flooding, as he mentioned. And he created a pervious wrap yard around that he's not going to even be able to grow anything now because there's going to be zero sunlight once the house goes up. In conclusion, as the next door neighbor, Mr. Donald Moore objects to the variance. Thank you for your time.
I have a question.
Yes.
You said a lot of stuff, but it seems like you're objecting to the variance on his side by 2 feet.
Correct.
And the sunshine.
By 2 feet, well.
It was 7 to 5, correct?
Is, okay.
Seven, so five. So that's what your objective is.
Okay, it's two now, right?
And then the height of it, because it's going to take away his sunshine. Is that all, is that what I'm understanding that you're really objecting to so far?
Yes.
Wait, pardon me once, okay.
You'll get your chance.
Yes.
I'm tricked.
Yes.
You talked a lot, a little over my head, and I was trying to pull out.
I'm sorry.
No.
Over my head, because I don't have the information that I'm a little uncomfortable, because I came in and found out the plans had changed, and, you know, so my calculations.
But it seems like they did answer a lot of your objections.
Yes.
So we're down to the 2-foot and the sunshine.
Correct. I think that is the issue here, the 2 feet.
All right, I just.
Whatever, yes.
I'm not sure if everybody else.
And if he needed it in the front for his egress, that's different. I'm talking about the 2 feet running the other 30-some feet along the back.
Okay, so we'll let the chairman ask.
Yeah, so is your client's house 7 feet off the property line?
It was, but he had to get a variance for egress for the stairs in the beginning of it. When he raised his.
So the stairs would be 7 feet off?
Correct.
So the stairs, you have like another 30 inches that you had to extend it?
I should have those plans, but I believe there's at least 3 foot left, so I think he only got like.
7 feet on the other side?
To the house.
The structure. The structure's still 7 foot, but the front, he had to add an egress when he raised it, because it couldn't fit the stairs underneath, and I believe he only got 2 feet, because he can still walk through to the back.
So you're basically 5 feet off your client, and they're 5 feet off.
There's no easement there either.
Is there an easement?
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this application?
Name and address, and I'll get you sworn in, okay?
Warren, 129 North Sacramento. I live 2 houses down from the. Okay. My concern is this.
It's Ranieri?
Ranieri,
R-A-N-I-E-R-I. I-E-R-I. And Mr. Ranieri, do you swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
My concern is the.
I can hear your address.
129 North Sacramento. My concern is about the aesthetics of the building and the fact that you're squeezing this giant house on this little tiny lot with little side tiny setbacks, and we're setting a precedent in the neighborhood that I don't agree with. And also the volume. I understand we're adding some under the house parking spots, but we're also losing parking spots on the street in a very congested neighborhood. And that's always been a problem with parking, especially in the summertime. But like I said, my main objection is just the volume of house on the size of the lot. And it's a house, it's a neighborhood full of small houses on small lots, and why can't they be the same?
Didn't you say you had a driveway in your house?
I had a driveway.
Okay.
Donnie and the Villalones shared.
Okay, so it's really kind of a wash then.
It's shared a driveway.
Right, there's a smaller space in between the houses.
Okay.
Right.
All right, thank you, sir.
Can you state your name and address, and I'll get you sworn in.
Linda Armati Epstein, 127 North Sacramento Avenue.
Jeff Epstein, 127 North Sacramento.
127. And do each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
We do.
Okay, thank you.
We're the attached house on the other side of 125, which is the attorney speaking.
So we join in the opposition, really, except our concerns is the same with regard to the setback. It appears that the houses are just too close to each other. If there's emergency access needed, it's impossible to get there. I think it's a safety issue.
What emergency access?
Fire department, anything that has to go through that.
They come down the
street. What's that?
They come down the street, correct?
They could come down the street, but they can't get between the houses. I mean,
how many feet between the houses are there?
Excuse me?
How many feet between the houses are there?
Well, they're, I think, saying that they want 4, and there was 7. We have 7. What do we have?
Police, may I make a statement?
But there's a fence, so it's really. There's a fence. So between the end of the proposed structure and the fence, it's going
on each lot, we basically strive to get 3 foot clear around every building without any sheds, other things, and so on going on. This property, I mean, every property should strive to get that so that this fire and police can circulate around the property. And that's what we've been discussing here and have tried to get and encourage people to at least to maintain. So other things, say sheds, other things, not to block that, and that's the case. So that's emergency access.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do think as far as a hardship, when we lifted our house, which was mentioned before, we had to build stairs to get in, so we had to go on the side of the house. We didn't make it to the structure. And it seems like they're making their stairs wider, and then the building structure behind it wider, which doesn't seem to be necessary.
Your stairs went into the setback, correct?
Excuse me?
Your stairs went into the setback, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so I don't think there's a hardship for them to do the same type of thing. They don't need the structure to be as wide as, you know, building stairs with a landing.
What's the distance between your stairs and the setback?
Excuse me?
Do you know the distance between your stairs and the setback?
Our stairs are the same as what she described with Don okay. Malora's house. And we're like 3 feet on the side of the house because we have to be able to...
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Actually, I have... His name and address, I'll get you sworn in.
Adam Richards, 124 North Harvard.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Adam Richards, 124 North Harvard Ave.
Mr. Richards, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So my main concern is I live one house back, one house over, and in the back I had to put a French drain in because the water drainage is pretty bad back there, I'm not going to lie. It sits back at my house, and it comes down and it runs down. I mean, as you said it's going to flow to the front. As the structure is bigger, more rain in the back. That's basically it for me. I don't know how you can make it all go to the front, but it's already a main issue for in the back. I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Mr. Schaefer, is there a grading plan in part of your, can you do a grading plan
that, absolutely.
That would do that?
So I saw that coming. I knew
his property.
I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
And bring the water to the front would be the normal procedure.
We'll have the engineer look at that for you, and so that property could be, obviously every property should have the water pump to the front.
Okay.
You understand that, right, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
If that would help you, sir.
Hi. My name's Julia Katz, and I live at 130A North Harvard, so I am directly behind the one side of the property.
Okay. Can you say your last name again?
K-A-T-Z.
Oh, Katz, I'm sorry. Ms. Katz, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
I'd like to start by saying that I think we're all happy that there'll be homes there again for the benefit of the people who live there, as well as for the benefit of the neighborhood and such. A couple things to point out. When we're discussing this, it's important that we all stay consistent. Structure is one thing, stairs are another. So we shouldn't be discussing a setback with one being regarding a structure and one being regarding suddenly distance between stairs and the end of a property line. So let's make sure we stay consistent when asking questions and doing our mathematics so that we're all discussing the same thing and on the same page. I'm here to object all of the setbacks. Priority-wise, the one that will be right behind mine. Again, a lot of us have done work. They rebuilt their place and made sure to leave more impervious area so that they could plant trees and such. I want this house for all the people who are living there to have what they need, but our houses need to have what we need as well. And these variances, I'm sure, including setbacks, were put into place for a reason. And I know you mentioned, well, of course they'll get down. They'll drive down the street and they'll get down there. I'm a nurse. I've been involved in medical care on and off the acute care setting, so out in the community as well. It is not that simple. There's a reason these variances are put into place. They're put into place so that if there's an electrical box issue, you're not squished into a tiny area between houses where hopefully something doesn't hit another house and you start a fire when you're trying to hit something. So that you can have the passageway you need without harming other things when you're getting through, God forbid, anything horrible happens to any of the homes that are there or that come up in the future. But we have to keep that in mind. This is why this was there. So we can't suddenly go against this. Much like them, enjoy being outside and inside my home. I don't think it's right that the structure is suddenly on their property going to be so much closer when everyone else had to, for the most part, go to the same lengths to keep the variances where they were. I appreciate that they lowered what they were requesting. I still think that it should stay at the original proposed and not be decreased. for health reasons, fire reasons, safety reasons, and also precedent reasons. I don't think that this is a good precedent to set. We've kept things the way they are. Obviously, if egress is an issue, then we should allow that, but not just because the structure is going to be bigger. Then everyone's going to want the structures bigger, and then where are you going to have a safety element when all the houses are on top of each other? So I am objecting to that setback being reduced.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public who wishes to make comment?
I had a quick question. I don't care who answers. Maybe someone on the board can. But the Villa Lona side property is directly, is that the one that's directly next to Mr. Malura's?
Yes.
Okay. And on the Leroy side, just out of curiosity, did anyone speak, the neighbor on that side?
That would be.
No one's here.
We would all have to move to that health hazard.
Okay, that's all yeah. I want to know. They're not here. I didn't know if
they can't live here because it's full of feces and animals.
Okay, so everyone who spoke is on the other side. That's all I wanted to know. That's it.
That house is also under the RREN grant program. They were in the process of lifting and another bad contractor, blah, blah, blah. They have the same project manager as the Villa Lonas and the Leroys. And hopefully once we're done, then that house will get addressed.
I'm curious if they were here.
They got to do us first. So, okay. You know, I don't want to live next to that. I understand.
I don't think anyone wants to live next to it.
Sheesh. Just should have said nothing. Okay. Just curious.
All right.
Mr. Schaefer, since you're presenting,
she said,
do you have any comments?
Just to answer a couple of things.
One thing. The public portion, since no one else has been wanting to speak, the public portion is now closed.
Right.
Okay.
Just to very quickly address some of the comments, the density is not being increased as density is defined in terms of number of dwelling units in the neighborhood. The off-street parking will be actually increased. There's roughly two spaces for two cars on street in front of these two houses now, or what was two houses, and that would be converted to a total of four. And I say there were room for two, but there was two driveways, so there probably wasn't even room for one car in front of those two houses in that space that's provided because of the driveways that were there. And at least this way, the parking will be increased from likely only one space to four between the two. Will that be available to the public? No, but it will still alleviate some of the congestion of parking on the street. The spaces between the building in terms of access for fire and so forth is a building code issue, not so much a planning board or zoning board issue. And it may require that, and I'm not an architect, that some of the materials on the side of the house would be a different material to make them more fireproof than would be otherwise required. And again, I'm not an architect, but I know some of that stuff exists. And in terms of the oil spill, I believe that's already been addressed, and it was probably a very dramatic experience to go through, but that's all I have.
I have a question.
Certainly.
What is the height of this building versus the height of the other buildings on the street?
That I didn't record. I just know that we are under the ordinance requirement in height.
How much under?
I believe I testified earlier, 6.3 feet less than the permitted height. So we're not scraping the edge of that height. You know what, I should have that right there.
At 2 feet.
Mr. McLaren reports it's about 2 feet.
Yes, you're right. We're proposing 31.55 feet. We're 35 feet is permitted.
So you're over 2 feet below?
Correct.
Okay.
What's the square footage of the dwelling, the living space?
I honestly don't know. No.
You have to speak in the microphone.
We have one person speaking in the microphone, that's all.
I'm only interested in the square footage of the footprint as compared to the footprint of the previous house.
What's the square footage of the footprint?
Honestly, I don't have the square footage of the proposed structure laid out, but I know that I do have the proposed square footage of all the impervious, which does comply. It just complies.
So it appears that the contention here is that square footage is identical, but you surely it's widening. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So your building coverage based on your percentage is about 799 square feet.
Oh, I'm sorry, the building coverage is, yes, it is. 55% for the building coverage.
And actually, 125 and 127, they needed a variance for building coverage and lot coverage.
125, is that the...
That's the objective, yes.
Yeah, but those were existing structures that got lifted. It's a totally different animal in the sense that they were existing structures that are lifted.
Right.
This same REM program are replacing this house.
Right.
So it really isn't comparable in that sense because those were house lifts and the existing conditions were not exacerbated but maintained.
Now, Mr. Schaefer, the plan shows here that the dwelling units basically from the center of the party wall to the outside wall are 18 feet 3 inches.
Okay.
If you take 2 feet off that and make that 16 feet 2 inches, do you know of any structures in the city that are that narrow?
Not too many, no, other than row houses, which we don't have in this neighborhood. I know that because I bought a row house in the city of Baltimore once. It was 16 feet wide.
Right. Okay. I haven't seen a house in a plan come before this board.
No, I have not. And that was my testimony earlier, that even this new house, the way it's proposed, is not out of character in terms of size and height and width as compared to other houses. It's only aggravated by the fact that the existing lot is undersized and under width in particular.
Correct. Okay.
But if that was a single family home, the side yard setback is only required is only 4 feet.
That's correct. So if we were to put a single family home there, we would more than comply with the requirements of side setback.
So we could put a single family home there at 4 feet, but at this, we're requiring 5 feet.
That's correct.
So we have actually, seven feet is required.
For the single family attached.
Right. Okay.
And for the single family, it's less, and we could actually make the house wider. It's a little bit of an oxymoron, but that's the way it is in the ordinance.
That's what the ordinance is there.
Do we have a number for their coverage, their lot coverage? Because we always look at that.
They're less than what is required.
So the impervious coverage proposed is 66%, where 75% is permitted.
Okay.
And then just to reiterate, the building coverage proposed is 55%, where 55% is permitted.
Okay. Because on your height and your coverage, you're totally in compliance, these are the things we look at.
Right. We worked hard at getting this house as much in compliance, but also a livable house.
Well, I just think it's interesting that if you were to put a single family home there, we wouldn't even be having these conversations because it would be compliant.
That's correct.
So how good do they get along with each other? Maybe they can put a door in and we can go home.
That's a question I refuse to answer.
Do we know if the previous house was compliant or does it really even
matter? It was more compliant in the side setbacks.
In the sides. It looks like it probably was.
Right.
Okay, so but the front and the rears were on most of the street were not compliant.
That's correct.
Yeah, that was typical.
That's correct.
We don't know the coverage of the prior structures, right?
I don't have a survey in my possession right now, so no.
All right. Are you complete?
I hope so.
All right. Is there any? You are now complete. Is something you wish to add?
No, nothing.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, board members, have any questions of any of the applicant, of our professionals? If not, I'd like to have, Mr. Mattis, do you have anything to say?
No, other than when we go to a vote, I recommend that we just consolidate them, do one vote.
Okay.
They are mirror, the variances are mirror images of each other, they both need the D3 variance, and I'll obviously summarize them.
And we'll do the D3, the D3 and the C variances in one vote?
Yeah, well, essentially, the D3 variance basically says, single-family attached are permitted if you meet the following conditions. So they are variances to deviate from three or four of the conditions required, and then one of the conditions under the D3 standard is not lot area, so we'll just call that a separate C variance, and the other ones are deviations from the D3 standards.
Okay, would you frame a motion, please?
Okay. So this is a motion for both properties, 121 and 123, North Sacramento Avenue. It is technically what we call a D3 variance, so it does require 5 affirmative votes out of 7 to pass. It's a D3 variance because our ordinance says attached, single-family dwellings along a common party wall are permitted uses if they meet certain conditions. Because they don't meet certain conditions, they require a D3 variance to deviate from the following conditions. The lot width for these type of homes are supposed to, each lot in it of itself is supposed to be 30 feet wide, and they, each of these are 23.25 feet wide, and then combined, they're supposed to be 60 feet wide, obviously, and combined, they have 46.5 feet. Front yard setbacks are required to be 12 feet, and they are proposing each property 10.1. Side yard setbacks on each side, 7 feet's required. They have proposed 5 feet now on each side. And then the rear yard setback required is 12 feet, and they're proposing 10.1 feet. And then again, lot area, sort of a standalone C variance. 2,000 square feet's required. Each lot is 1,453 square feet.
Leo, if I could offer a correction, the front and rear setback are 10.0 feet, not 10.1.
Oh, okay. All right.
Previously, application we made, it was 10.1 on both front and rear, but now it's 10.
10, okay. All right, well, okay. So corrected, so those are 10 feet. The conditions will note, and again, this applies to everything, the applicant will supply a grading plan to the satisfaction of Mr. McLarnon, the board planner and engineer, which will locate the downspouts towards the front of the property, so all drainage goes towards the street. And then any other conditions set forth in the two reports that Mr. McLarnon prepared must otherwise address, and the applicant will comply with any other representations it made during the course of the hearing, and of course, is subject to any other necessary outside approvals.
Okay, may I have a motion and a second, please? And we'll state our reasons with a roll call vote.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
We'll have a roll call vote, please.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote in favor of this application for innumerable reasons. Or one is that the property is basically at the same density that existed prior. The lot is the same size as a pre-existing non-conforming use. Now, as a pre-existing non-conforming use, these lots are undersized by that. However, as a property owner, they have the right to use the property, and these lots can't be zoned out of existence. That would be one thing that should be noted and so on in here. The second thing is, other things of oil spills and other items that had occurred are already cleaned up and non-existent today. The density is that of this property is basically the same as the other property owners that occur. Parking didn't exist before. Now parking exists before. It does exist and does conform to our requirements. The property prior was non-conforming, not conforming to FEMA. They got to this issue by trying to conform to FEMA, the national requirements, to benefit every homeowner in the city. as well as the adjoining neighborhoods. The property does, the whole area does flood. That's noted, and that is not an issue before this board. The other thing is in question is that this property, from what we can gather prior, had a different shape, but relatively...